Radio made in Watford. Watford. Vibe 107.6.
I want to welcome, a big vibe welcome, to a guy that has played football at Sunderland, at Derby, Portsmouth, QPR, Cardiff, Brentford, some big names in there, playing over 500 professional games and more than half of that 500 with us here at Watford Football Club. It's a big warm welcome to Tommy Smith.
Good morning. That's quite a list, actually.
It is, I know.
I forget, yeah.
Do you? Yeah, I bet you do, don't you? First of all, thanks for taking the time to come in, Tommy. I know you're a busy, busy man.
Absolute pleasure.
Let's start off. Let's get straight into it. Your thoughts on how we're doing at Watford at the moment this season, the last few seasons?
Well, it's great to be in the Premier League. So I think that in itself is a massive achievement. So I think for the club, really, it's just to stabilise, become a proper Premier League club, and then be looking up the table rather than down. And I think it's been a bit of a mixed kind of two seasons, really. They're both fairly similar in that we've had good runs, good starts generally, and then fallen away a bit kind of towards the end of the season like we are now, and got enough points, so look, we're not looking down, I don't think, at all at relegation, but it'd be nice now just to put a little run in, finish as hard in the table as we can, and again look to try and build on that for next season.
Now, all them teams I've named, Sunderland, Derby, Portsmouth, QPR, Cardiff, Brentford, all big in their own rights, but who would have thought it, you know, years ago, that the team that you played for, Watford, and most of your career is actually sitting higher than all of those in the football pyramid.
Oh, no, I know, it's incredible. Really, when I was growing up watching Watford, we were always kind of recognised as a slightly lower table league team. So it's great now, and it's brilliant. You know, I've got a young son, so I can take him along, and he sees the best players in the country play, and it's fantastic for the town itself as well.
And you being a local lad, you know, in general, and you've always kept your roots local as well, which I've known always as much as you can, and kept connections local to Watford. Has that been something consciously you've done, or is it just because you happen to be a local lad?
I think more but just because I'm a local lad, really. My family's always been here. My wife's family is local as well, so we've always been drawn back here. Yes, we've had to move quite young. We moved up to Sunderland together, so it's just always been in our mind that we'd always venture back down this way. And I think as well, when you start to have kids, you realise actually you're looking at schools and your focus changes then. So once my eldest was at that age where we were looking at schools, we based ourselves in and around kind of the Watford Hemel area just to make sure that we had the support network around us, and kind of I ventured off from there, really did a bit of travelling, tried to stay as local as I could, but of course with football you never know where you're going to end up, and that's kind of, as you can see, been up, down and round, really. South Coast, Wales, up north, so you just got to go where you think the right move is for you at that time. And often it's just a phone call that comes in, and you've got to make a quick decision, and you've got to take as much into account as you can.
It's like a little hobo travelling around the
country. <It's a> bit...
No offence.
Well, I've been called a journeyman, so I've been called a lot worse.
So your early part of your career, so you started at Watford, but you come through the youth setup. What's your memories and your thoughts of that time? And what players did you look at that were playing for Watford, or indeed within the footballing world, that you looked up to and thought, that's who I want to be, that's what I want to have?
Blimey. Well, for me, really, John Barnes was a massive, massive kind of star at the time when I was growing up. And he was also, having played for Watford, went on to Liverpool. He was a guy that I looked at, and not that I play similarly to him, but it was, I loved his attributes, and I felt I had a link with him in my style of football. So he was someone, I think, that came through at Watford. But yeah, I've had so many, Gascoigne. Going on a bit, Andy Cole, loved him in that era at Newcastle where they got promoted up to the Premier League and became the entertainers. That team was incredible. So a bit older then, so I was probably mid-teens, so I really loved watching them play at that time. But yeah, coming through at Watford, it was a fantastic time. Great team, great youth team that we came through with the likes of Paul Robinson, Gifton Noel Williams, David Perpetuini, Darren Ward. So we all kind of went through the youth setup together and came into the first team together, which was, I think, it really helped having friends and a support network around you at that time.
I think things like that don't necessarily happen these days. We hear about that other club. It's just, I think it's a different game now. Your first ever game, first professional game. Tell us about that. Do you remember it? And how well do you remember it? Or was it a bit of a blur?
bit of a blur, to be honest. I remember I came on, it was at Rickards Road against Oldham at home in what would now be League One, and I came on for the great Ronnie Rosenthal.
Ronnie Rosenthal.
So that in itself was at that stage quite an achievement. So yeah, I remember I just came on and I think it was all a bit too much for me, really. I was 17 and at that level of football, as you're aware, was quite tough, physical. I was a little tot, came on and tried to add something that Ronnie couldn't to the game, which I don't know what that was at that point. But that was fantastic to get on the pitch and just to soak up the atmosphere, really. So that was a huge stepping stone for me at that time.
And your first goal, do you remember that? And how well do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. That was QPR away, so we got promoted. We got promoted that season. I think I played one other game, possibly Swindon at home. Promoted, then I was kind of in and around the first team the next season, and we went on this incredible run, and I managed to be part of that on the bench, coming on certain games, and came on at QPR, I think it was my first appearance for that season, and managed to knock the winner in with, I think, my second touch. So that again was, looking back, fantastic memory, really was. And that kind of pushed me right up into kind of, I think, the thoughts of the manager, and it kind of showed that at that level I could maybe do it. So it allowed me then to have a couple more appearances after there and score a couple more goals as well that season.
I'm in the studio with Tommy Smith, ex-Watford player, Sunderland, QPR, Brentford, etc., etc. And we're having a bit of a giggle off air just about some of the things that we're going to talk about now. So once again, thanks for joining me and hanging around, Tommy.
Pleasure.
First of all, your best goal. Well, you told us about your first goal. Obviously, partly that could be the best goal you scored, but outside of that, because that's most memorable, but outside that, some of the memorable goals you scored for Watford.
I think one that really stands out for me was when we played Manchester United at home in the Premier League. I was kind of in and out of the team a lot. I was 18 at the time, so when we were in the Premier League, must have been early 2000s. And we played the great Man United at Vicarage Road, and we gave a great performance. I think we lost 3-2, but I scored our second, which put us to 2-2, I believe. And that was a...
So it was 2-0 down?
2-0 down, yeah. I think we pulled it back to 2-2, and then I think they scored late on to win 3-2, which was a kick in the teeth. But to score against, I think it was Schmeichel in goal. And that team back then was exceptional.
Tell us some of the names.
Giggs, Beckham, York, Cole, Yapstam, Roy Keane.
Scholes in there?
Right? Scholes would have been there, yeah. So it was that treble winning team. So fantastic. What a side that was. Yeah. It wasn't that year they won the treble, but it was kind of the start of that team. To score against them at Vicarage Road at that age, I think I was 18, 19, was just incredible for me. That kind of was a real emotional side. Plus also, my brother-in-law at that time had just bought a Ferrari, and he said, if you score, it was real tongue-in-cheek, he said, if you score, I'll let you drive my Ferrari.
Did he?
Yeah, so he did. He did let me drive it. As a 19-year-old, 18, 19, I got in his Ferrari.
Nice,
I think,
man.
I only drove him about 15 miles an hour. Absolutely petrified, but... great memories.
The players you played with at Watford, you know, in the Watford team, who were some of the standout players that you played with, and why?
Over the years, because I had the two different spells at Watford, so there were very different memories about the club because they're in very different positions. So coming through, kind of Micah Hyde, Richard Johnson, Tommy Mooney, Robert Page, all really good, honest pros, tough lads, good on the ball, but also physical as well. So those were really good guys for me, and I really looked up to them coming into the dressing room at the time. And they were great with me. They really looked after me and made me feel part of it. But God, they were tough.
Yeah.
So training was, it was kind of touch, jump out of the way if tackles come flying in. And, but it was a real good learning curve for me, toughened me up a lot. So those players at that time were really good and really had a massive part to play in my development at that stage.
And what about players you played against? Who were the tough players and the standout players that you remember? You've named some of the Man United, obviously, players. Yeah. Outside those,
I've always said this, really. I played against the young Jonathan Woodgate at Leeds, and he was just immense. And this was kind of before he had his injury problems. He'd broken into Leeds first team and was getting huge plaudits, and we played them up at Elland Road at a similar kind of time, Premier League, and he was just fantastic. He was quick, strong, good in the air, broke through the back into midfield with the ball, played it wide, would then carry his run on and go and get the ball on the edge of the box. And he, for me, I think he'd have been one of the best English defenders, but sadly, I think injuries really got in the way. And it said it all when he signed for Real Madrid, because I felt that's kind of the level he could have played at, really. But sadly, I think he had a great career, but he could have been a lot better, I think.
What about the best ground you played at? Outside Vicarage Road, of course. Best stadium you played at?
Best stadium? Well, I kind of was... my dad's a massive Newcastle fan. He's a Geordie. All his side of the family are from Newcastle. So for me to play at St James's Park was huge, because for him, I think that meant quite a lot. And it's a stunning stadium. So that for me is fantastic. But the new Emirates Stadium is incredible, just as architecture, and the stadium itself is just phenomenal. So that's probably the best stadium, I'd say, in terms of going to watch a game. The Emirates is beautiful.
Tell us a story about playing at Old Trafford.
Oh, yeah.
You was a bit marked.
Yeah. So this was earlier on in the same season, early 2000s, and we were at Old Trafford against that fantastic team of York, Cole and Beckham, Keane. I came on a sub with about, I think it was about 35 minutes to go. So up against Yap Stam, centre half. So 10 minutes later, Yap Stam, his number comes up, he's getting subbed off. I'm thinking, fantastic, brilliant, because he was awesome. And then I realised they'd put Roy Keane centre half.
Roy Keane was marking.
Yeah, so Roy Keane then came and marked me. And I remember thinking, Jesus, out of the frying pan into the fire.
Did he give you a bit of a kick?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. Yeah, he was quite, you know, he was one of those quite gobby, always kicking you and, you
was
know,
he?
All little niggly stuff. But and I went for a goal that day as well, just Bosnich to beat, and he saved it. I was thinking,
still you scored at him.
At home. I got back at him in the end. But so that was fantastic for me at that time.
And also a story we've spoke about in the past, about the late great Graham Taylor, GT, and I think it's a great little story of when in your younger days. And there's so much goes around about agents we hear these days. Tell us a little story about you agents and Graham Taylor.
Well, you're right. It goes on now, but even back then, so this would have been late 90s when I was coming through, and Graham Taylor, the late great Graham Taylor, was first team manager, and he kind of, particularly with the young players, he took us all under his wing and tried to mentor us, really. And as part of that, he wouldn't let us have agents. Now, even back then, there were always agents buzzing around and calling and at games and trying to sign us up, and we had quite a good strong youth team then, so you could imagine we were drumming up quite a bit of interest with agents. Yep. And Graham Taylor was nope. So it would always be me and my dad, and Graham would sit down and go through contracts and next stages for me. And bear in mind, I wasn't that young anymore. I was probably in late teens, coming into 20s. Yeah. So really, I probably should have had an agent, really, but he was very, no, you're not allowed one, not while I'm here, great, fantastic. So he always looked after my best interests, and it wasn't until about 5 years ago that my dad bumped into Graham and they were talking, and he said, you know, I'm so pleased I never let Tom go to Chelsea when they came in for him. And my dad was like, what do you mean, Graham? And he was like, oh, well, yeah, Chelsea came in with a couple of million pound bid, but it wasn't the right move for him at the time. So don't you worry about that, Dave.
I love that story.
Fantastic, right? So, no regrets.
Anyone that ever met Graham, no, it was always done for the best interest.
Absolutely.
But that's a great story. Right, I want to ask you about what you're doing now. You know, you've retired from football. Do you miss football? Because you're relatively still young. You've kept yourself looking fit. What are you doing yourself these days?
I played till I was 35, so I was... body was starting to give up in stages.
Oh, no, the feeling,
just gradually,
Tommy.
Yeah, lower back, hips, things like that. So it was when you get to about 30 odd in football, I think you start to worry about what you're going to do after 35, because that's kind of the cut-off point for most players. You can get your pension, would you believe, at 35.
Really?
As a footballer.
Wow.
So you can get your Football League pension if you want, you know, you've got that option. So that's kind of the cut-off point. So I go into my 30s, start thinking, you know, what am I going to do now? Left school at 16. My dad's a chartered surveyor. He's been in property. He's always kind of taught us and mentored us through the property industry, buying houses, investments, whatnot.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's always been an interest for me. And we had the opportunity to purchase a local estate agent based in Bushy Heath. It was an old friend of my dad, so we
What's the estate agent called?
So back then it was John Whiteman and Company.
They've been based
in Bushy Heath for 30 years. So we purchased that company, me and my brother, and we've kept all the existing staff. We've kind of modernised what was there. We're now JW & Co, so we've dropped the John Whiteman. And a couple of years ago purchased another estate agent in St Albans, which were Langley's. So they had three offices, St Albans, London Colney and Park Street. So we've just merged the companies together. So the last couple of years has been hard work combining the two. So we're JW & Co Langley's now.
And you're in St Albans?
Yeah, St Albans, Park Street, London Colney, Garston and Bushy Heath. Yeah, so it keeps me busy. It's been a lot of hard work, big learning curve, but we kept all staff. The former owners of Langley still work for us. So, you know, it's been fantastic and really good. We've been really lucky that we've got the staff we've got and they're driving the company forward. And I'm here just to help kind of build new business and looking at ideas.
And it's kept you local, JW.
Yeah, it has indeed, which is great. And it's really nice. And I've loved it, loved the challenge. And yeah, it's a fantastic industry and it keeps you on your toes. So, really, really happy at the moment.
So, if anyone pops into a JW & Co, they may well see our very own Tommy's.
I'm in the offices every day. Hands on. Gotta
pop up for a coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tommy, it's been brilliant having you in it. You have been a real star. It's been great hearing some of your memories about Watford and the players, etc., Graham Taylor. And it's great to see that. You're still local, and I know you're doing lots of local stuff, you know, whether it be charity events and that, so keep up the good work.
Will do. I've got one, if I can mention quickly. There's Nicky Cross, who unfortunately was murdered 2 or 3 years ago in Hemel Hempstead. There's a charity match on her behalf, 13th of May, Saturday, at Hemel Football Club. We did it last year. It's coming around again, so any support would be greatly appreciated. I think there's going to be more ex-pros playing this year, so there's going to be an ex-pros team. Against a Danny Cross Select 11, so please, support would be greatly appreciated.
And that's 13th of May.
13th of May.
Club.
That's it. Yeah, fantastic cause.
Okay, well, I'll keep an eye out for that. Tommy, thank you very much for coming in. You've been a star.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. We'll get you back again at some point.
Vibe 107.6.